This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. And right now on the Goodyear Hotline, we have one of our favorite guests. That's Buster Olney, who joins us right now. Buster, how is everything going?
I'm plugging away. How about you guys?
We are doing the exact same thing, just plugging away here day by day as we get through another year or into another year. But I want to give you some. I want to give you a take that we had. Bart started this fight yesterday at the end of the show, and you know how that goes, right? Like, it's the end of the show. You're just trying to get to the heart out, and Bart just drops his absolute grenade, and you're like, wait, you can't say that now. But of course he did. So we had to open the show with, and that is this. And I know you've done this on other shows. We've talked about, you know, is Bonds worthy? Is Clemens worthy? Is Schilling worthy? And I know your takes on it, and we'll get to that part of it. But he said something that really caught my attention. Okay, well, if we're keeping these guys out for cheating, then Jose Altuve then better worry about his legacy at the end of this whole
Gizmo.
Thing.
You mean Gizmo.
Well, that's, you call him Gizmo. Yes.
Our good name for him, Gizmo.
But I call him Jose Altuve because Buster's here and we want to be respectful. But do you understand what I mean? Because I would think he had three batting titles, an MVP, a championship. I think he's got a resume that looks like Cooperstown could be in his future. And yet the scandal that happened with the Astros that was acknowledged by baseball because of all the punishments handed out, even though players weren't punished, shouldn't he be held to that sort of same standard too then?
According to the standard that's deployed by a lot of the writers, there's no question about it. You know, I personally, you know, I got to a point with the process and I stopped voting 6 years ago. My feeling was, look, I don't like being in a position of judging character. That feels like an incredibly slippery slope. Right. But my feeling was, look, you know, Major League Baseball has decided that Jose Altuve is a member of good standing, that, you know, Manny Ramirez, suspended twice from baseball for PEDs, member in good standing, worked for the Cubs. Same thing with Bonds. Same thing with Clemens. They, you know, had deal their employment with the Marlins, the Giants, and the Astros, respectively. And you know, and the Hall of Fame puts these guys on the ballot, which is why I just got to a point where I just, like, I'm not going to do any of the character judgments. I especially because that's a clause that was obsolete for 60 years, right up until the moment that Mark McGwire's name appeared on the ballot.
Right. So, I mean, speaking of character, you look at Curt Schilling. And, you know, what's the argument for him not to be in, especially after, you know, 9 tries? Is it because of some of the things, the statements that he's made? Is, you know, some of his actions, you know, away from the game of baseball that keeps him out?
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that, that, you know, some writers have made it clear that that's been difference-making. You know, the things that Curt has written on social media for them is disqualifying. And you know, I just want to underscore exactly how steep the slippery slope is that once you step out on that character clause. The character, it's believed that the character clause words were drawn up by Kennesaw Mountain Landis, who's a segregationist, a commissioner of baseball, who worked to keep African-Americans out of the sport right up until the time that he passed away, whose name the baseball writers just stripped off their major award last summer, the MVP award. His name was taken off. And yet, in the last 15 years, his character standard has been the guiding force for a lot of writers. That seems crazy to me.
It absolutely is crazy. And it's, again, it's the do as I say, not as I do, apparently. But that is, I think, and we're in a time right now.
Well, we'll see that with David Ortiz because everybody loves Big Poppy.
Well, there's that. But just getting back to what you mentioned about Landis. And Buster, I you know, and that's why I like about you so much. You're not just a guy who has such passion for the sport you cover. You are a historian of the sport, and the fact that you walk away from your ballot, it speaks volumes to me. It really does, because you're looking at it as this is hypocrisy. So with that in mind, and we're in a time now where we are kind of reviewing the history, just not of baseball, of any sport, but of our country, and we're looking back and thinking, you know what? We don't have the whole story on this, do we? And so, if you're going to, again, and it's, I'm not trying to be this proponent for Schilling. It's really more the standard that we're seeing here and the hypocrisy we're talking about. You know, because I don't particularly like everything he said either. But this is a baseball Hall of Fame. This is not a human being Hall of Fame. And if Ty Cobb is in the Hall of Fame and there's no asterisk and there's no story about anything that has to do with him, but we see movies and stories and everything that's written about him that we know about what kind of character this guy had, So if we can't, if we're not letting Schilling in, shouldn't we revisit Cobb's eligibility under that same rule?
Well,
or is that no? It's already there. You can't. It's written in stone, literally, so you can't touch it. How does that work?
I 100%. Think about this. There are already PED users in the Hall of Fame, and everybody knows it, right? Mm-hmm. that's why it's really kind of crazy. I tweeted out this morning what needs to happen going forward. Because let's face it, this year is a complete debacle. There's clearly confusion about how to handle some of these cases. And so I suggested that what needs to happen now is the writers need to go to the Hall of Fame and said, look, we're done being the human sandbags piled up in front of the Hall of Fame so you guys don't have to make the decision, you people. So you decide, the Hall of Fame should decide whether or not these individual players pass their character test. And once the Hall of Fame vets those people, then put them on the ballot at that point. But make it clear, the Hall of Fame is the one that should be making the character judgments and not writers. And, I feel that for a number of different reasons, not the least of which is it's a really not a good place for a journalist to be making news, which is part of the reason why I backed out. And to be clear, I voted for, more than a decade. And I think, like a lot of people, looked at it as being like a fun payoff for spending a lot of nights on the road. But it got so complicated and it was so clear that the Hall of Fame was basically hiding behind the writers in trying to keep out some of the players from the steroid era.
I retweeted Buster just real quick here, and we're talking with Buster only on the Goodyear Hotline. I retweeted the tweet you are talking about. Those who follow me can see that tweet as well, what you're referencing, because it does obviously make a ton of sense in the way you explain it. Go ahead, Bart.
Yeah, because when you look at it, like, where does it stop? Like, does it stop at PEDs or performance enhancers, or does it continue to performance enhancers? Because we know that maybe with Verlander and Gerrit Cole, with whatever that substance is that speeds up the spin rate.
Allegedly.
In Houston, allegedly, like, it's where smoke, there's fire. We know for a fact that when they went to Houston, the spin rate went up. We know that Verlander's career was revitalized, and Gerrit Cole went to heights that we've never seen him before when he left the Pirates. So at what point do we make those considerations, and where does it stop? Or is it just a bias that certain writers have against certain players, and once you get granted or you get branded with that scarlet letter, you have no chance?
Well, and I agree with you, and it's an incredible gray area. And, Bart, if I were sitting and watching a baseball game with you now, I could point out to you literally dozens of instances in which I could, someone who watches baseball all the time, I could see that a player, a pitcher, was applying a foreign substance. And by the way, everybody on the field can see it too. It's not like I have some special force. The umpires see it, the opposing players see it, the opposing manager sees it, and everybody kind of looks the other way. And again, it just underscores what a gray area the writers are in, and they're trying to guess or trying to gauge, okay, what is this person worthy of the Hall of Fame? Get out of that business, I mean, when I started, I basically was looking at statistics. Okay, was Jim Rice a Hall of Famer? Is Jack Morris a Hall of Famer? Was that player too much of a compiler? Or, is this person get in? And now it's just become such a mess. I do think the writers, and I had Tim Kirchner on the podcast that I do today, talk about how, look, they need guidance, and they need the Hall of Fame basically to step out from behind, out of the shadows, and take responsibility for the rules that they put in place.
All right, Buster, let's move on to some other topics here, because, again, we could probably spend an hour on this topic. You and I have talked about this, I think, over the years several times. I think each year that the voting comes out, we do discuss it. But moving on, let's get to New York and what's happening with the Mets, and a couple of things. Number one, you did mention the Mets with Chris Bryant as the Cubs are trying to get under the luxury tax. Is there anything there involving the Mets? And I guess the add to that is, since the Jared Porter thing, has anything affected them when it comes to making business decisions? Because it's weird that I thought Springer was rubber stamped for the Mets, and suddenly he decides to go to Toronto, which seemed odd to me. Was there any effect between the Porter controversy and Springer deciding not to go to the Mets?
No. I think they placed a priority on trying to land Lindor. It's so interesting because in a lot of these cases, when players are out there It's come down to the Blue Jays and the Mets because there's so few teams actually out there spending money.
With money, yeah.
And you know, so that's where we are. I think what happened was is that you know the Mets and the Blue Jays were bidding in making offers to the Indians for Lindor, and the Mets won that, so they get the number one player, and then the Blue Jays pivot and they signed George Springer. From what I understand, the Mets at the end of the process were like at $115-120 million on Springer. And maybe after landing Lindor, they didn't feel compelled to move forward. I will say this, because it really does feel like a game of musical chairs this winter with so few teams actually involved, right now at the moment, you wonder who else is going to be actually seriously in the running for Trevor Bauer. Right now, the Mets and Trevor Bauer seem to be circling each other. You know, some people might wonder, will the Mets blow through the threshold for competitive balance tax. And I can tell you, the view internally in the Mets organization is, look, in this winter in which no one's spending money, it's like a soft real estate market. If we can get a good player at a good price, we're going to do it. So I wouldn't rule out that the Mets wind up with Bauer as well.
Well, so that means that we have the have and have nots. And I mean, when have we ever heard that? That was really an oxymoron when you used to think about the Mets and spending money. You think about going to the ATM versus going to the vault. Now they have a vault. They got a Scrooge McDuck, DuckTales vault that Cohen's swimming in. With that being said, what teams do you think have improved themselves the most to kind of be a contender and be a threat to the Dodgers for that championship stamp, so to speak?
Yeah, there's no question, San Diego Padres. You know, getting Blake Snell, getting Yu Darvish, you know, upgrading their rotation in the way that they have this winter. I think the Blue Jays have gotten better. I don't think that they're at the level of the Yankees yet. They signed Marcus Semien last night. He's probably going to play second base for them. They got George Springer. They probably are still short in their rotation. You know, the White Sox have tried to upgrade, but it really is amazing, you know, how few teams have actually been out there and been aggressive. More, I think what's far more common are teams cutting back. You guys have seen all the move the Pirates have made. I looked at it this morning. The Pirates have committed moving forward after 2021. Think about this. The Pittsburgh Pirates have committed moving forward $3 million in total after the 2021 season. There are a lot of teams coming off what we saw with the financial landscape of baseball making dramatic cutbacks.
It's I think all sports are going to see that just basically because of what we're seeing. The pandemic has had its impact, and the small market teams, for the most part, you think are going to have to feel it. And that's, I'm really curious to see how the landscape changes in all of sports just based on the losses and what we've seen, and also maybe how they've seen that they can operate in a different way. So I think was it yesterday or 2 days ago where the Players Association turned down the universal DH and expanded playoff format. I wanted to get your side, and I'm sure you've probably said it before, but I want to be reminded, what is your take on the universal DH? Do you feel like, not that it's inevitable, but do you feel it's best for the sport?
I do at this point. You know, I grew up as a fan of the Dodgers. I love the National League games. I love all the chess moves, but I think where the sport is, and the fact that pitchers now are, you know, the most valued assets, teams just don't want pitchers running the bases. They don't want them, you know, like Masahiro Tanaka, like Chen Ming Wong, getting injured while doing something that's an outlier to their jobs. It's a lot like the Buster Posey collision rule. You know, after that happened, you're like, well, it's only a matter of time now. And it's the same thing with the universal DH. And it's coming. Look, they're haggling. The two sides remain entrenched. At some point, they'll come out. They'll work something out. It makes too much sense, and everybody wants it, in part because, you know, at a time when baseball is lacking action and there's too much dead time between the ball being put in play, I think there's a big picture people feeling like there's a need for taking pitchers out of the batter's box and replacing them with guys like Nelson Cruz.
You brought up Tanaka. Have we seen the last of him stateside? Is this a real thing that he may go back to Japan? And if so, what would be his legacy here, you know, stateside?
Well, I mean, he's going to always be incredibly respected for how he competed. I know that's how people feel. I'd say this a lot of times because I read that too early in the offseason that he, you know, was seriously considering if he didn't get a contract, he wanted to go back. Some people say that stuff when he says it, right. You know, you take it at face value because he's such a serious competitor. I got to say this. I think because of, you know, we've seen regression in his fastball in recent years. I have no doubt that there are a number of teams that would like to take him, but the question is how much of a hit is he going to have to take? I feel like pitchers right now that he's in the group of, they're getting like, you know, $5 million, $6 million. For someone who's made a lot of money in his career, maybe that's not his first choice.
Theo Epstein now moving into the MLB front office, I guess is the best way to put it. I'm not sure I'm saying it the right way, but the thought is that he's somebody, because you mentioned about getting more action in the game. We've talked about this as well, how, you know, and it's just funny, as you were telling me about, you know, that you don't want pitchers running, you want to protect them, the collisions at the plate. Buster, I know this is not the game you and I grew up on, right? Like that's the game we grew up on was Harrelson and Rose, you know, at second base. You know, we grew up on stuff
right.
like that. You know, I grew up on the fact that Ricky Henderson would be on first base with nobody out, and suddenly the whole stadium just started buzzing. Like, what? Because Ricky Henderson's at first base, and you don't know what he's going to do. You know, like there was always something about that. That now it's like, yeah, but you know, we don't consider, you know, just getting on first base anymore to be that big of a deal. No, base runners are exciting. There's something happening now. The pitcher's now psyched out. That stuff is just being removed little by little from the game. I think I might have asked you this before, and the many times we've talked, will we ever get back there? And is Theo the type of guy that has that maybe influence, and perhaps maybe he's looking at a future commissionership, you never know, that he could maybe start that and say, no, we've got to get this back into the game because the analytics were great and it's, you know, we understand them, but this is not the game that we knew it to be anymore. This is a much different game than it was when a lot of us of our generation grew up on it.
And you hear that all the time from even the analytically driven front office folks. You know, privately, you ask, you know, what do you think? And they're like, oh, my God, it's awful. Like, it's all this matchup stuff and 15,000 relievers and the pinch hitters and you know, looking at players as if they're only baseball cards and not really trusting them and having these decisions made by front offices. And Theo gave voice to that on his last day with the Cubs. He talked, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said essentially, look, you know, a lot of the type of decisions that I made contributed to that. And he certainly is someone who has the trust of folks on management side and on player side. But I got to say, I'm skeptical that he'll be able to pull it together. The two sides are so far apart, even as something as obvious as the universal DH, which everyone believes is going to happen. They are effectively entrenched. They're not really, from what I understand, not doing a ton of horse trading. There's not a lot of back and forth. And so while Theo might stand out in the, you know, in the middle ground and say, hey, guys, why don't you come out of your bunkers and let's try to talk things out? There's absolutely no spirit of that right now, especially with the current CBA set to expire in December this year.
It's amazing, and it's actually a really interesting sort of look at where we are, not just in sports, but as a country right now. We're just so dug in.
Exactly.
We used to come to the middle. Isn't that amazing? Buster, it's always great to talk to you. Good stuff as always. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Buster Olney giving us a Straight Talk, as always, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. There's so much there to talk. Right? There's so much there, Bart,
yeah.
that you know, you can get into, but it's certainly a sport. That it's really a sport about its arguments and its debates more than any other. It really is. And every single topic we talked about with him was essentially a debate.
There's no absolutes.
It needs a refresher button.
It needs an upgrade. The game is great at its core, but you got it. The purists.
You can't get there.
Get out of it.
Yeah. Well, it's not just the purists. To me, you have, I think that's what he's trying to explain. You have your purists who believe in the soul of the game and the way it's supposed to be played, right? And they don't want change. I don't want universal DH. I don't want these things to happen. Play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And then you have the other side, which is, as you like to call them, the geek squad, which is, no, the numbers say do this and you will win X amount of the times. That you will win. Like, this
the
is,
shift.
This is
the shift.
It's all about right, success and failure rate. And this is what you do and this is why. And it'll work. Trust me. But you know what? It might work. But it's terrible to watch.
Yep.
That's really what it is. Your formula might come up with
shift.
And in the end, don't you want to be a champion? Yeah, I do, but do I want to be a champion of a sport nobody's watching?
Or a whole generation
of kids coming up don't really want to watch because it's boring to them. To us old guys, we grew up in a game. It's not boring to us. But this next generation, they're bored.
You want to
be a champion of a sport that people, that the next generation, your next line of consumers are saying, I'm not going to that game. It's boring.
Yeah, baby boomers are on their way out.
What good is it being a champion then?
Yeah, baby boomers are on their way out. You have to upgrade your viewer experience because that's really what it's all about. You got to have gambling. You have to speed the game up. You have to have a pitch clock. You got to have an automated
Bart, you need action.
It's a lot of different things you got to do. Yeah.
You need action. And that's what compelled me to watch the action. You know, the base running, the stealing, the excitement of it all. Like that, like just stuff
happening, hit and run, bunting, all of it. I like what they did last year with, you think about the extra inning game, started with somebody on second base so that it puts a lot of pressure on the pitchers.
That's the shootout in hockey.
Yeah.
That's all that is.
Second base, it's a shootout in hockey. Get your specialists.
Yeah. It's like college football. It's like in football. All right. If we don't get a touchdown in the first possession, you kick a field goal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, okay. Well, I guess it's because we got to eventually end this game. Like, we have to eventually end this segment. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 for the calls. Audio files, I believe we do have coming up, right? We got some good stuff coming up on that. We do want to get to, at some point before we end the show, Mel Kiper and some very interesting takes on his very first mock draft of 2021. But first, we have Bart and this message from DraftKings.
Pigskin fans, the moment you've all been waiting for all season long is right around the corner. DraftKings, the official fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55, is bringing back their golden ticket giveaway with up to $55 million in prizes up for grabs. All you have to do to get a share of these huge prizes is enter DraftKings' free prediction challenge. Once you submit your picks, you will get a free instant prize up to $25,000. And if you have the most predictions correct, you could win up to a total prize of $1 million. Download the app now, enter the free prediction challenge, answer questions like, who will score last? And boom, get ready to make it rain. Download the DraftKings app now or use promo code BART to enter to win, to enter the free $55 million prediction challenge. Everyone gets an instant prize up to $25,000 just for playing. So use promo code BART and enter the $55 million prediction challenge only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of Super Bowl 55. Terms and conditions and eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details. We'll be back after this, I promise.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Your turn to be part of the conversation. Before we grab a couple of calls, Bart. So last night, Utah Jazz won their ninth straight game, 13-4. I mean, they are on some roll, playing so well. But some news today, Donovan Mitchell, who had a bit of a weird fall with they were playing the Knicks. They're actually losing to the Knicks for most of the game until a big fourth quarter. He and Mitchell Robinson were going for a rebound, and when he landed, he hit his head against Robinson's leg as he was going down to the floor and looked a little woozy today, diagnosed with a concussion. He's now in concussion protocol, will not play tonight. for the Jazz, and now you certainly keep an eye on the Jazz star player and see how he will be doing it. If he does miss some time, he certainly is missing tonight. See how he does. But the Jazz winning 9 straight games right now, off to an absolute red hot start. So that's
under
a little
the
bit
radar
of
and under NBA, the radar too.
NBA news. Meanwhile, the Knicks end that trip at 1-3, and so they're now 8-11 on the season. Things they just keep going back and forth like on that roller coaster. The Knicks. It's hard to gauge what they are.
Yeah, that's what young teams do, right? It's the inconsistency. Like, greatness is doing the little things on a consistent basis. They're striving for that. They're trying to learn how to be able to bring it every day when you're tired, when you have a team that's looking up to you, that wants to play well for you, or going against a rested team, going against a team on a back-to-back, how to take advantage of situations and how
Great
to prepare
point.
Your body and prepare to come out and play based on the situation in which you're in. You're on a West Coast trip. You got to take that approach a little different and have a game plan about how you are successful and can play at a high level there.
Something that Tom Thibodeau said last night really caught my attention, the Knicks coach. He said, the games reveal who you are. You ever hear that before as an athlete?
All the time. I mean,
like, you practice, you feel good about yourself, but it's the games that reveal who you are.
Yeah,
and
we said it.
Who you are is 8-11. You know, it's kind of outside right now of a quarter into the season, just outside the top 8 in the East. I don't know how many people thought the Knicks would be there, but there's a lot of teams in the league. The Cleveland Cavaliers, what are they? It's hard to tell. They're 8-9. You know, they've had some impressive wins. They beat the Nets. They've had some bad losses as well. The Orlando Magic has had tons of injuries. Where are they? The Atlanta Hawks got off to a great start. Then they got some issues going on in that locker room. The Dallas Mavericks, Luka looks miserable. Fans are out for Kristaps Porzingis, and you know, his worst ability is his availability. So it's just the league right now is in a real interesting place when you see there's a lot of teams that are sort of mediocre. So again, we're not getting a lot of time in the NBA these days. It's Super Bowl time. But once the Super Bowl is over with, there'll be a lot to NBA to talk about, and we'll see where a lot of these teams are once we get to that point. But you know what? Like I said, let's get people part of the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we go to James in West Virginia. Go ahead, James.
Barton Holland, what's up, guys?
What's good?
You got it.
Hey, how about this? Pete Rose is the precedent for these other players that are implicated in PED scandals. I mean, this guy, he didn't even cheat as a player. He cheated as a coach. Once you get him in the hall, then the ones that are implicated in the PED scandals, they'll be a legitimate part of the discussion.
The only problem
the other
is,
thing
though,
is, go ahead.
James, the only problem with that is that it's the writers who are maintaining this fight. They're the ones that are saying, like, you have been banned from the sport. You are not eligible to be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's not even on the ballot. And that is just off. And I'm with you. What he did was as a manager, and I still say what he also did was, like, this brings me
too.
Back to the 76ers. The Sixers told you, we are losing. We'll take your money. You can buy tickets. We'll take your money. But we're going to lose. We're not trying to win. They told you this. Pete Rose was betting on his team to win as a manager. But why is that? Shouldn't that be separate from what he did as a player? How about you were a player who was a great player, but as a manager, you have a losing record. You were an awful manager. Should that be held against you? No, it's separate.
Right.
What he did as a player is Hall of Fame worthy. What he did as a manager is completely different, but because of all these years ago and the decisions made that have now gone to the grave, nobody will overturn it. And unfortunately, it's never going to change. But I agree with your point, though, that it does kind of start with Pete Rose, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
That's personal.
And that leads me to my second thing.
Go ahead.
It's not the Associated Press Hall of Fame. It's the Baseball Hall of Fame. We need to take the power from sports writers and put it into fans' hands. Then
that's
the ones who deserve to be in the hall will be in the hall.
Well, I don't know about fans because the fan vote, and thanks for the call. I do appreciate the input. You know, like, Bart, you've seen fan votes before.
Yeah. I mean, Yao Ming get in automatically to the All-Star game.
Yeah,
like, Pro Bowls.
Fan votes becomes a popularity contest, which I think we've learned.
Vote for Taco Falls.
haven't we learned that the popularity contest might not be the best way to go when it comes to voting on anything?
Exactly.
I think that's part of it. But I think what Buster said is right, is that you need to have – like, football has a committee for their Hall of Fame. Basketball, they have a committee.
The Heisman.
I think what you have to do is sort of get to that kind of a scenario instead of just the power. And that's why Buster only said the power shouldn't be in the hands of the writers. Let's go to Jay in Massachusetts. Jay.
Yo, what up, guys? Listen, after being on hold for over an hour, you would think that my blood pressure would go down after all this, and I'd be a little more relaxed. But in fact, I'm just so sick and tired and frustrated as a baseball fan, lover of the sport since I was little. You know, that's my first love. But it's because of the writers. It's because of these baseball nerds with their analytics that are completely ruining the game, and the game is dying because of these guys. Like, dude, baseball writers, we're not asking you to be their best friends. You don't have to be their friend. But can we look at the stats and be real and understand that these guys, whether you like them or not, you don't have to be locked arm in arm with them. But these guys are freaking awesome. I'm a Yankee fan, and I think I hated Schilling. But this guy would kill us every single time, especially in big moments. And that's a guy that deserves to be in the Hall of Fame by pure talent and stats and all that. Let's not even go with Bonds and those guys. Those are obvious. But can we, like, be serious here and do your jobs? These guys have no athletic bone in their bodies, and yet they get to judge.
Yeah, it's they are the curators of the sport. And I thank you for the call. They're curators of the sport, and they believe they are doing their job.
They're supposed to be objective, though. They're supposed to be objective. You have to take your emotions out of it. You know what I mean? You can't be emotionally invested. Like, it's no different from people saying that T.O., the second best stats of all receivers in NFL history, out of all the great receivers, and then he gets held out first ballot just because they say he deserves to wait. No, if he's a first ballot, he's a first ballot.
That's the other
thing. Like, you don't make guys wait and say, well, it's not his time.
I'm not voting for Hank Aaron because I know he's going to get all the votes and he shouldn't get 100%.
Like,
thank God that finally ended with Mariano Rivera. But it's just some of the – like, that kind of thinking to me is what I just feel like that's what ruins the credibility of voting. Is when you say, well, I'm not going to vote for it. Like, you really want to be the guy that historically, that basically history will say you didn't vote for Hank Aaron? You
right.
didn't vote for Hank Aaron. Why? Well, because I knew he was getting in anyway. What the hell is that? Like, that, you know, that's the stuff that, and he shouldn't get 100%. That doesn't make any sense to me. Barton Hahn, we're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. All right, so coming up, Bart, we haven't spent a lot of time on mock drafts, but of course, as we get closer to the draft, and I mean, it's amazing to think that we're going into February.
Bro, they're at the Senior Bowl right now. They're at the Senior Bowl right now. I didn't even know Reese's Senior Bowl was going on.
Here we go. So Mel Kiper, there's one interesting thing that I found in his mock draft, and it's not what the Jets are doing at 2. It's what happens at 15. I'll explain. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
On ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. The latest 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL, looks back on the long-running feud between Raiders owner Al Davis and NFL Commissioner Pete Rozelle, two of the most influential figures in the history of pro football. Beginning in the mid-1960s, when Rozelle was the NFL's young commissioner and Davis led the rival AFL, and continuing through the 1980s when Davis waged a lawsuit against the league to allow him to move the Raiders from Oakland to L.A. The two titans were constantly and very publicly at odds. The latest 30 for 30, Al Davis versus the NFL, premieres February 4th, 9 p.m. on ESPN. And immediately following its debut, check out the Jalen and Jacoby The After Show podcast, where the guys will be joined by director Ken Rogers. Listen and subscribe to Jalen and Jacoby, The After Show, wherever you get your podcasts. And Bart, I think we're going to steal something more from Jalen and Jacoby by doing our own After Show podcast at some point, whenever we get to that point. I like Swagger Jack, and that's all right. All right, Mel Kiper, first mock draft of 2021. It's out. A few interesting choices. All right, after the obvious pick, which is Trevor Lawrence and to the Jaguars at number one, he says the intrigue of the draft begins at number two, where the Jets have that pick, the number two pick. Kiper has them taking Alabama wide receiver and Heisman winner Devontae Smith. He does add the caveat that the Jets, of the Jets going quarterback here, but believes if they don't trade for Deshaun Watson, the move could give Sam Darnold another year of one-year audition with new coach Robert Saleh, and then take a wide receiver to add talent around him. He has the Falcons taking BYU quarterback Zach Wilson at number four, and your Detroit Lions taking Justin Fields at 7,
such
a fourth quarterback at the top 10 would be Trey Lance going 8 to the Carolina Panthers. Oh, and speaking of quarterbacks, at number 15, Kuiper feels the fit for the Patriots. Heisman finalist, Bama quarterback, Mac Jones. That'd be five quarterbacks in the first 15 picks. Mac Jones,
please.
Bill Belichick, number 15. What do you think of that?
Hey, with Bill Belichick and the Patriots' luck at the draft, this would just be the icing on the cake. Give them a quarterback they can't get rid of for the next 3 years and let them be stuck with Mac Jones. If they want Greg McElroy 2.0, by all means, you'll be doing the division a favor. Listen, I know, he has two of the
arguably – Jones put a prolific numbers, though, and his accuracy is off the charts.
So to McElroy, he won a national championship, but anybody can throw to Julio Jones, can throw to all the other those weapons that Greg had, and now he had two of the top five receivers, whether you want to talk about Waddle or Smith, Najee Harris, of course you're going to look good. Was it more about that offense and the offensive weapons, or was it more about him? Listen, I'm going to lean on the latter, and if Bill Belichick wants to buy that, you know, that real estate, then I got some oceanfront real estate for him in South Dakota that he can have as well.
We're
going
to have to save this.
So I would love that. Like I said, we just get to the iceberg. Because it's
cold takes exposed.
Because listen, you're going to know that.
I like Mac Jones.
It's going to be a lot of guys that's going to jump and down this list. It's going to pop up. It's receivers. He's not even the top three receiver in this draft this year. You know, it's a kid that opted out of Purdue. It's a kid that opted out of Minnesota. You talk about Waddle potentially being a better runner. Do not fall for that thinking that you have to take a receiver that high. This is a new NFL. Every receiver can run routes. Every receiver is good. Some of the best receivers in this game were second and third round draft picks. So if you can get one in the second, third round, you need to address your most glaring need in the first round.
What I want to address is if you can get some value out of those picks. That's what I want to address.
Yeah,
that's going to be something.
Because remember, the Jets have 34. So, I mean, you sit right there, you basically got three first-round draft picks because 34 is right there.
Well, let's find out also, too. As Kuiper mentions, if they don't trade for Deshaun Watson, well, that's some smoke that you hope turns into a fire if you're Joe Douglas. Like, what an option that would be to turn that number two pick into Deshaun Watson. You do that. You do that 100 times. You don't even think twice. You just
right. But if you don't, and you stuck with Sam Darnold, then what I'm saying is I'm going to make sure that I turn that pick into the best lineman on the board. I'm going with Sewell. I'm going to make sure I can protect whatever quarterback I got. See, don't fall for that. Sometimes you don't want to get too cute. When you have something that you can solidify both sides of the equation, especially when you think about Sewell coming in playing right tackle with left tackle feet, and you know with Mekhi Becton always being hurt. You saw it happen in Baltimore when Ronnie Stanley went down. The fact that they had Orlando Brown that easily slid over to left tackle and still made the Pro Bowl gives you such value because you got to understand these dudes are dancing bears, but they get hurt as well. So if you can secure your borders, all is safe. The safest place in a hurricane is in the eye. And you want your quarterback, no matter who it is, to be safe on the eye, and you want your tackles raising hell on the edges.
I love that. The safest place is in the eye, and that's essentially where you are with two bookend tackles. We'll see how that works out for the Chiefs, who won't have theirs. That's it for today. This was a lot of fun today. We appreciate Buster Olney for being on with us and everybody for listening as well. Bart, I'll see you tomorrow.
I'll holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.